Hello and welcome to the Oxygenatic Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. You can personalize your fueling and hydration strategy so you perform at your best with 15% off your first order of electrolytes and carbohydrate fuel with the code OXYGEN24 at Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Coach Rob Wilby, and every week we bring you an episode of this podcast to help motivate and inspire you for your triathlon goals for this season. Listen, a couple of quick things you could do for us before we jump into today's episode. If you do like this episode, please consider following us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could like and subscribe, that would really help out the growth of the show. It helps the show get shown to more people by the algorithm on the podcast players and on YouTube. So we'd really, really appreciate that. And secondly, if you're looking for help and advice with your triathlon training, please consider getting in touch with us. You can read all about what we offer at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then you can email us at help@oxygenaddict.com. Or there's a link in the show notes to book a call with me or one of the coaching team. We can discuss how we can best help you out with your triathlon goals for this season. On this episode of the podcast today, we're going to be talking about your first race of the year and going through some of the things that I want to make sure that you do to avoid making some of the big mistakes that athletes often make before their first race of the year. So before we get into the finer details here, I'm going to make some assumptions and I'm going to be talking about some of the things that are directly applicable to our athletes who are racing in the UK. Now, these things will be applicable to some athletes racing in Europe and some athletes racing in North America as well. But one of the big things about the early season races in the UK that tends to be a real challenge for athletes is the cold water and the fact that the water hasn't had a chance to warm up yet before people are racing. So it might be that you're really lucky and are racing in a place where the water's a beautiful temperature and you don't have to consider these things. But just in case this is ever applicable to you, hopefully these tips will help you out as well. So first races of the season in the UK tend to be in April, May time, and the water temperature can often be pretty chilly. It can range anywhere from, 14, 15 degrees if we're lucky, all the way down to 12 degrees. And certainly for people who are racing in mountainous areas in the Lake District or in North Wales, we've all been to races where the race director has said the temperature is 12 degrees. I'm not sure the water temperature has been as warm as that in some places. And that's the temperature below which they have to cancel the swim, according to the BTF regulations. So we used to joke about there being a magic thermometer that came up with this 12 degree number for some race organizers. I've certainly swum in some water that felt, whatever the temperature is, it feels absolutely freezing cold when you first get in. So there are some tips here we can give you to help acclimate to cold water that are going to make your race day go much, much more smoothly. So the first thing you can do in preparation for your first race of the year is to try and get some practice in swimming in open water, even if the water's still quite cold. Take the chance to go to a local open water venue and get some cold water acclimation swimming done. So some of the things that you can do to help yourself along with this, some tricks of the trade we'll go into, but committing to get into the water at least once and ideally twice in the couple of weeks before your first event can go a long way to A, helping that mental anguish and wondering what the temperature is going to be like can often be as much of a challenge as actually experiencing it. But second, you can and do get an effect on the body of acclimating to the temperature of the water. So by race day, it feels much more doable. Okay, so some tips for going in then. Firstly, go to a managed open water swim venue. Don't just go and jump in a lake on your own. Go to a place where there's a managed open water team, where they've got lifeguards, where people can keep an eye on you. So that should be the first consideration for everybody. Then as we're going to get into the water, there's some things to think about. The first thing is how it feels when you first get in isn't going to be how it feels after 5 minutes, but the first 5 minutes can feel a real challenge. So you're going to need to get through that. The first thing to realize is that your wetsuit is not made to be comfortable when it's dry. It's made to be comfortable and warm when it's wet. But getting into cold water can be extremely difficult to decide to let the cold water down your suit in order to make it fit correctly. So a real good tip that we have for athletes is to take a big thermos flask full of not hot, but warm water or even lukewarm water. When you've got your wetsuit on and you're ready to go, pull the neck forward on your suit, pour the water down and try and get some down each arm, let it run down out of your legs. That in itself will make the neoprene wet. Your body heat will then heat up the inside layer of the neoprene and it'll be much, much more comfortable than getting into the water with an already wet on the inside wetsuit. What you find if you just get into cold water in a dry wetsuit is the seams, the neck, the cuffs, the ankles will let water in and it will be a gradual but unpleasant cold experience. Now you can do that in the water as well. Later in the season when it warms up a bit, that's exactly what I'll advise you to do, to bend down, pull the neck forward on your suit, scoop some water into it and stand up, walk back out of the water and then squeegee the water down your chest, down your legs, down your thighs, down your calves and out of the bottom. And immediately you'll feel as soon as there's water inside the suit, you can move it around and slide it around on your body and get it to fit much, much more comfortably. And it's much easier to swim in. Same again, I do another scoop of water down each arm, pull the arm into place, get it right up underneath your armpits and into your crotch so that that suit fits you properly. But that's the best way to ensure that when you do get into the cold water, that suit then feels as it's meant to and will protect you from the cold. The next thing you can think about is preparing in advance, wearing either a thermal swim hat or a neoprene swim hat or even a second swim cap together can go a long way to helping the feeling of cold on your head. And before you even think about swimming, the first thing that I want you to do is to get into the water, put your face down into the water, blow out bubbles into the water, take your face up again, take a nice big breath, blow bubbles out into the water again, splash some water on your face and on the back of your neck, gradually get your body used to that feeling. Because like I said, the way it feels in the first minute or so isn't how it feels after 5 minutes. And even if the water is, you know, extremely cold and it's so cold that you feel you want to gasp when you first put your face in it, it will get better after a few minutes. But you don't want those few minutes to be just after the starter's gun has gone off. You want to be totally acclimated before the starter's gun has gone. So we're going to practice this in training. So two hats on, go through this process for a few minutes of getting your face in the water, even dunk your whole head and your whole body under the water. So you've got used to that feeling. And once the cold shock has gone, that's the point where you can then go ahead and start to think about going to do your actual swim training. So that's the swim tip that I've got for you. It's cold water acclimation in training. It's cold water acclimation on the day of the event itself. It's being prepared and having the extra hats. It's having a thermos of water to make your suit fit you as well and as comfortably as it possibly can. And having a think about having two pairs of goggles if you need them, one with clear lenses for if it's an overcast day, and one with tinted lenses for if it's a very sunny or bright day. So those tips will really help you going forward for your swim part of your first race of the year. For the bike section, the most important thing I think you can do, the biggest tip I can give you, is to know your outdoor FTP numbers. We've got a whole other episode you can search for talking about the importance of doing an outdoor FTP test, but you have to know your own individual FTP numbers outdoors on your race bike with the power meter on that bike and in the position you're going to race in. Now, it's too late if you're listening to this on race day morning to know all that stuff. Hopefully you're listening to this 4 weeks before your race and you've got time to go and work out your outdoor FTP. You've got time to train in your outdoor position. You've got time to train in the aero bars if that's what you're going to race in. You've got time to train on your tri bike if that's what you're going to race on. But having the accurate number for your outdoor position, your outdoor bike is absolutely essential for being able to ride to accurate numbers during the race, but also to be able to accurately analyze those numbers afterwards when you get back and you have a look at the numbers after the race. So that's my tip for the cycling. It is as simple as that. It is knowing what your outdoor FTP number is and having trained in the position and on the bike that you're going to race in on race day. And lastly, the running tip that I've got for you when preparing for the first race of your year is you want to plan ahead of time here and you want to have time to make sure that in training, you have done ideally a series of, but at least one run off the bike so that you know how that feels when you run off the bike. So in an ideal world, our athletes, I'll have them do 3 or even 4 brick runs at weekly intervals leading up to their A race. And they've got no worries and no questions then. They know exactly how it's going to feel and they know what pace is going to be reasonable for them to run getting off the bike. But we do hear stories of people who are going to turn up to the first race who have never, ever run off the bike before. And race day isn't the time that you want to be experiencing that. So my advice to you here is at least a week before race day, do your usual bike session. Have your trainers ready at the front door. And as soon as you finish the bike session, take off your bike shoes, take off your helmet if you're riding outdoors, pull your running shoes on and go for a 5 to 10 minute run around the block. Now, you're going to have to expect the first time you do this or the first time you do this in a season, your legs are going to feel pretty weird and your brain is going to tell you there's absolutely no way that I can run 10K off the bike, a half marathon off the bike, a marathon off the bike with legs feeling like this. But the purpose of that run off the bike, the purpose of the brick run in training, isn't necessarily the training effect. It's the mental effect of you learning that although your legs feel horrible for 2 to 4 minutes off the bike, after that, they're going to come around and they're going to feel pretty normal again. And so that's the main reason to do these runs off the bike. It's so that mentally, you know, it won't always feel like this. And that come race day, you'll know that, you know, within a few minutes of running off the bike, your legs are going to feel normal again. So for everybody, even for a very first time of doing the first race, I recommend you do that run at least once. Now, ideally, we're going to have you do 3 of those runs. We're going to have you do them weekly leading up to race day. And I've be careful how I say this, but the more seriously you're taking your race result, the faster you want to be, the more you want to run to your potential, the more of these we have to make sure we get done according to our training plan. And the more we have to make sure that they're done at an appropriate pace. So what I mean by that is some of these runs are going to, by necessity, have to be done at or close to the kind of pace that you want to or can expect to run, best case scenario, off the bike come race day. You don't have to make all of these runs very long. If you're a beginner who's never done one before, 10 minutes off the bike is going to be absolutely fine for your first one of these. And it doesn't have to be fast. You don't have to really push yourself. It's just the experiencing of it for the first time. But typically, for our half iron distance athletes, I'll have them run up to half an hour off the bike. For our Ironman athletes, I'll have them run up to 45 minutes off the bike. So there, the longer distances with our more experienced coached athletes, there is definitely a training effect we're looking for here with those runs off the bike. But for the majority of people who are just starting out, just running off the bike is the thing that you can be shooting for. And again, the more of those specific brick runs you do at close to race pace, the better that's going to be for your chances of running at close to race pace or your expected race pace come race day. Okay, then. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. So here are some discount codes and deals for you. Over at precisionfuelandhydration.com, use the code OXYGEN24 for 15% off your first electrolyte order. And over at teamoxygenaddict.com, I think we've got the most comprehensive triathlon coaching program for busy age groupers. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today and the advice has helped you out, well, great stuff. I hope that's helped put some of your fears at rest. And I know from some of the calls we've had, it's helping raise the right questions in the minds of people as to whether their current coaching relationship is working for them. If you're looking for change or if you're looking for high quality, proven coaching for Ironman or 70.3 triathlon this year, you can just check out the details of our coaching packages on our website at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then if you're interested, there's a link in the show notes below. You can join our waiting list and you'll be notified if a slot becomes available. And at that point, you'll have a chance to book a call with us and see if you'd be a good fit for joining the team. So although we don't have slots available at the moment, we'll make those call appointments available to people as and when we do have athletes who end their coaching packages during the season, if and when that happens. So remember, there's links in the show notes, so you don't have to remember them. Till next week, have a great, safe training and racing week. I'm Coach Rob Wilby, and you've been listening to the Oxygen Addict Podcast. See ya.